for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday afternoon, May the 24th, 1986. Memorial Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Seminar being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Glenn and Irma Miller are the teachers of the afternoon. This is a deliverance service. Father, we thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit in this place today. We thank you for the anointing of the living God to flow and move through this place, to bring healing and restoration and deliverance this afternoon to those that are in need of this of the word of the Lord in their lives, and to be set free from things that hinder them from walking closer to thee. We thank you, Lord, for the power of the Holy Ghost to flow and move through us this afternoon, that we may be vessels to bring forth the word of deliverance that will set the captive free. And we thank you for the privilege today to stand forth and declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he lives and reigns in our hearts and lives and in this place. And we praise you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Turn with me over to the 19th chapter of Leviticus. And we have been singing and talking about this. And the Lord is requiring it of his people. Leviticus 19, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying. Now Moses didn't ask for this. He didn't request it, but the Lord said. And what did the Lord say to Moses? Speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. That commandment still exists today, and the Lord says that we shall be holy. He didn't ask you if you want to be. He said you shall be. Turn with me over to 1 Peter chapter 1. I don't believe in two books of the Bible. I believe in one. It's all one book. And the last book of Revelations picks up the beginning of the book. And it says in the 14th verse, I believe it is, of the last chapter of Revelations, blessed are they that do and keep my commandments. 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's see, I need to be finding that too. Verse 15. But as he which hath called you is holy, I believe that every person in here this afternoon has been called, or you wouldn't be present here today. The Spirit of the Lord is calling and moving in your heart and life, and there's a purpose for your life, and God is calling you to respond to that call. So you are called, and you're called to be holy. So be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Let's go back to Leviticus again. We'll pick up the 11th chapter of Leviticus. But for some of you people who tradition and denominationalism has told you that we'd have nothing to do with the Old Testament anymore, that all we have is grace in the New Testament, I just wanted to prove to you that what said in the Old Testament, it said in the New, is for if you separate it like that, that it's in both places. The 45th chapter, a verse of the 11th chapter of Leviticus, and we'll pick up here what I just read in 1 Peter. For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt, or the land of place of sin, to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. So the Lord declares that we are to be a holy people unto him. We are desire and seek after holiness, and to walk in the way of holiness and righteousness before the Lord. And then the Lord lays down many ordinances and commandments that will lead us in the path of holiness if we follow after them. We read one of them, to be holy in all of our conversation. And that probably basically is the main root of holiness. If our conversation is holy, then the rest of our life will have a tendency to follow after that. But in many areas of our life, we have strayed from the path of holiness. And the Lord tells us, well, turn with me over to Exodus chapter 20, back back to Exodus chapter 20. And the Lord gave some rules that I know because of circumstances of which I will relate. One of the main ones that has caused us to realize that these rules still are in existence today. In Exodus chapter 20, starting with the first verse. And God spake all these words, saying, the Lord speaking again, he says, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of sin, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And today we've got lots of other gods before us in America and in the world. But some of the world has gods, idols and statues, and even here in America in Catholicism, and even in some other areas, there are actually idols and statues that people worship. But we have, besides that, here in America, lots of other gods. We've got the God, main God of pleasure. And it's an abomination to God when it's put before him. Now, God expects us. He don't expect us to have a long face and to be like that. And he expects the kids to play a game of ball and basketball. And I condone that. But when it becomes a God, and America has a God of baseball and basketball and tennis, and they're all gods, and they're worshipped by many people. Everybody doesn't worship the same thing, but there are people who literally worship those things. They worship the gods of pleasure. They worship their home. They worship their car. It's a god to them. Their house is a god to them. Some people's jobs are gods to them. They've made a god of these things, and God says it's an abomination to him. We need to be able to separate these things out so that they have the right perspectives in our lives, and that we make God first and foremost, and then we'll not come under these things that we're going to study here and read this afternoon. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and the fourth generation of them that hate me, or a more correct translation is, that do not obey my word. So if you don't obey the word of the Lord considers that you hate him. But then he goes on to say to those that do in verse 6, showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. So if we love the Lord, we'll search his word and keep his word and hide it in our hearts, that we'll not sin against him. The Lord said that he would write his word in our hearts. The law of the Lord will be written in the hearts of those who love him. And we'll not fight against the law of the Lord. The law is written out in Moses' time, but now in our time, we're to study that law and to know it and understand it and to have it written in our hearts so that we automatically, when something rises within us, the Holy Spirit will prick us and the law of the Lord will rise up within us, and we'll not do those things which are contrary to God's commandments. Turn with me over to Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy 5, verse 9, and we pick up again similar to what we just read. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and the fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto the thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Now, I never thought much in years past, even until recently, too much about the sins of our fathers being visited upon the children to the third and the fourth generation. I thought that when Jesus died on the cross that he did away with all of that, and I didn't have to worry about that anymore. But I found out that that's not true. I found out that that law is still in existence, and that we come out from under that law by applying the word of the Lord and acknowledging that our forefathers have sinned. We can't go back and change the sins of our fathers, but we can come out from underneath the sins that have been visited upon us because of their sin. We can't follow after the teaching of Mormonism and pray and baptize for them. That's an abomination to God. They'll have to stand in their own stead. But we can come out, according to the word of the Lord, out from underneath that which has been visited upon me because of the sins of my fathers. As I learn and understand what those areas are, and as it's revealed to me by the word of the Lord and by discernment and by however the Lord would help me to understand and to know that that curse rests upon me, then there is a way to come out from that. But we came into this not too long ago by, and I think Irma mentioned something about it in the ladies' meeting yesterday, maybe, and I mentioned a little bit about it, I believe, today here when we were with the men, but I need to mention it again so that we understand how we came to this revelation of the Lord, and then the Lord proved that it is still in existence. A little over 2 years ago, we were studying here one Thursday night the relationships of the blood of the Lord Jesus as applied to our lives, and those areas that we can appropriate and apply the blood of Jesus. Now, I was born and raised old-time Pentecost, and even to this day, my mother still uses the phrase, "I plead the blood." But "I plead the blood" is a phrase that God has honored in our ignorance, but there is no scriptural background or basis for you to use that against Satan. But God has honored it, as we have used that phrase has been used. But it is unscriptural. And we were studying that here one Thursday night in February, 2 years ago this last February, I believe it was. And we were looking at the different applications of the blood of Jesus. And there are five applications of the blood of Jesus. They're the five prophet and the five ministries, the prophet and the priest and the evangelist and the teacher and the pastor. And there are five applications of the blood of Jesus that I have found in the scriptures. And there are scriptures to back up those five applications. And we were studying that here one Thursday night. And I'll tell you what these five are. We can apply the blood of Jesus. We can appropriate the blood of Jesus. We can sprinkle with the blood of Jesus. We can cover with the blood of Jesus. And we can wash with the blood of Jesus. You can find scriptures to back up all of those applications for the use of the blood of Jesus. And we were studying that. And in Leviticus chapter 3, it's one of the scriptures that I used that night in the study of the blood. We'll turn there to Leviticus chapter 3, and I'll read it just as I did that sentence. Verse 13 of Leviticus chapter 3. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of it and kill it before the tabernacle of the congregation, and the sons of Aaron shall sprinkle the blood thereof upon the altar round about. And that's what I was using it for, to show that the application of the sprinkling of the blood was applicable to be applied and to use the blood in that application today. And but I continued to read. And I read, "And he shall offer thereof his offering, even an offering made by fire upon the unto the Lord, the fat that covereth the inward, and all the fat that is upon the inwards, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, which is by the flanks, and the gall that is above the liver, and the kidneys, it shall he take away. And the priest shall burn them upon the altar. It is the food of the offering made by fire for a sweet savor, and all the fat is the Lord's. It shall be a perpetual statute for your generations throughout all your dwellings, that you eat neither fat nor blood." And I turned to my next scripture and went on. I didn't comprehend what I had read. The next Sunday morning, Becky Hall, when we had came to a place before I got up to teach, or I was up here, and I asked if there were any prayer requests or anything that anybody would like to have us to pray over before we continued with the service. And Becky Hall raised her hand and said, "I've got something I'd like to say, if I may." And I said, "You're welcome." We'd had a prayer meeting on Saturday night, and she'd been here all week. She hadn't said a word about any of this, but she stood and she said, "The Lord showed me last Thursday night. He woke me and told me to search out everything I could find in relation to the blood and the scriptures relating to the blood." She said, "I got up and spent quite a long time, and then I worked on it all the rest of the week, and I have found many scriptures applying to the blood and not eating of blood. And the Lord told me that the reason there's sugar diabetes in my family line is because my family line has eaten blood." Well, that was a revelation to me. And she went back, turned us back to this scripture that the Lord had showed her. And it says here in this scripture, "It shall be a perpetual statute." Now, perpetual is forever. It's without end. "For your generations throughout all your dwellings, that you eat neither the fat nor the blood." Well, now we know all about the fat recently, because we found a lot of heart trouble and From Washington, what's the name of it? Well, not the American Medical Association, but also from down in Georgia down there. They put out a bulletin from the, they put a bulletin out about fat. But the Lord knew that a long time ago. And if we'd adhered to his word, we wouldn't have had a lot of heart troubles. But anyway, the Lord told Becky, and she had been Tuesday to the doctor for a physical checkup, just had gone because she wanted to take. And the doctor told her that she was on the verge of sugar diabetes. Now, I'm not saying this is the cause of all sugar diabetes, but it was in this particular case, and since then we have found it to be true in other cases. But the Lord showed her that the cause of her sugar diabetes was because her family had eaten blood and made blood sausage and blood pudding. Her great-grandmother had died of sugar diabetes. Her grandmother had died of sugar diabetes. Her mother had died of sugar diabetes. She had two sisters who had it very bad, and I believe one of them had lost both of their feet. And the Lord showed her that was the cause of their sugar diabetes, was the rebellion against the Word of God and eating blood sausage and blood pudding. And although she had never, to her knowledge, participated and had any of it, or her sisters, that it was the sins of her ancestors that was being visited down upon them, even though they were saved, filled with the Spirit, she was, that this sin was still being visited upon them because they had disobeyed the Word of God. Well, as we begin, and then she said, then the Lord told me that if you would pray for me this morning, the Lord would pray and break that curse from off of me, that he would loose me from the sins of my ancestors. Well, that was a revelation to us. So I said, we'll do it. And then several hands went up and said, well, I want to be included. And I said, okay, Becky, you come. We'll pray for you and everybody at once. And we had quite a deliverance service that morning. So that's how we came into this revelation of that the sins of our fathers, and then we begin to study it, are still in force today. That it's not taken away just because Jesus died on the cross. Turn with me over to Leviticus chapter 20. Leviticus 20, verse 7 and 8. It says, sanctify yourselves therefore and be ye holy, for I am holy, and you shall keep, for I am the Lord your God, and you shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord which sanctifieth you. He doesn't ask if you want to do it. He said, you shall do it. And then over in verse 22 of the same chapter, it's picked up again. And it says, you shall therefore keep all my statutes and all my judgments and do them. So the Lord says that we are to obey his word. I want to go back to Leviticus chapter 5. And I want verse 17. That if his soul sin and commit any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the commandments of the Lord, though he wished it not, yet is he guilty and shall bear his iniquity. Now, I can't stand here and explain all of that. All I know is that it says it. And we have found out by actuality that we are bearing the sins of our forefathers. We're bearing them in many ways. Tomorrow we're going to talk about a different vein of bearing the sins of our forefathers. And it's rampant in America today. So is this that we're talking about here. We went to Nebraska right after this had happened and were speaking at a full gospel businessmen's meeting in Nebraska. The house was packed. Every chair in the place was taken. And I spoke because this was very fresh and new to us. And this is one of the things I talked about. And we were Polish, supposedly Polish capital of the world, and the Polish people are known for their blood sausage and blood pudding and blood soup. And some of the people there vehemently argued with us, tried to, but we wouldn't argue. We said, I'm sorry, but they tried to argue with us that there was nothing wrong with it, that it was good, it was quick energy, and that there was nothing wrong with it. But these same people had all kinds of physical problems. But they couldn't understand that had anything to do with their physical problems. But I believe that it did. And I'm not contending that all sugar diabetes or hyperglycemia comes from eating or eating blood. There may be many other causes of it. But I do know that that is one cause of sugar diabetes or hyperglycemia is the eating of blood sausage and blood pudding or blood soup. Whether you've done it or not, if your ancestral line has done it, why, you need to be set free from it. Now, there are 20-some scriptures throughout the Bible that tells us that we're not to eat blood. And just for a couple of more references, let's look at Genesis chapter 9. I want to look at there a minute. Genesis 9 and the fourth verse. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall you not eat. Now that's the very back in the beginning of Genesis. The Lord lays down that rule that blood is not to be eaten because it is the life thereof. Then we turn back over to Leviticus chapter 7. And I want to pick up there in Leviticus chapter 7 again. Verse 26. Moreover, you shall eat no manner of blood, whether it be a fowl or a beast or in any of your dwellings. Whatsoever soul it be that eateth any manner of blood, even that soul shall be cut off from his people. And there's more than one way to be cut off. You can be cut off by having sugar diabetes. You can be cut off by having some other infirmity or disease. That's a way to be cut off. Another way to be cut off in the Old Testament was that they took them out and stoned them. Now, I thank God that we've got grace today, because if we didn't have grace, I think the whole bunch of us would be by now taken out and stoned. Because when I get through looking through the Bible, I find so many things in there that we have rebelled against or that we have walked contrary to, that we're all guilty of, and that we would be worthy to be stoned. But I thank the Lord for grace. Grace, grace, blessed grace. Amen, amen. Through the blood of the Lord Jesus. And then over in chapter 20, it picks it up again. And then I want to go over to Acts, the 15th chapter of Acts. And this is picked up several times over here. But we're just going to look at one reference in the 15th chapter of Acts. Verse 20, in the 15th chapter of Acts. It said, but that we write unto them that they abstain from pollution of idols, worshiping idols, and from fornication, sexual sins, and from things strangled, and from blood. So we pick up over here again that the law of not eating blood is still in force. It wasn't done away with because of the cross. Verse 29 says that you abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication. There we have worshiping of idols, and blood, and sexual sins. From which, if you keep yourselves, you shall do well. Fare ye well. So we find that that eating of blood brings a curse upon the family line, and that we need to be set free and delivered from it. Now, there are all kinds of curses in the Bible that the Lord speaks of, and tomorrow we're going to deal considerably with a whole area of them. We hear sometimes somebody say they're just like they're a chip off the old block. They're just like their dad or like their mother or vice or whatever. What they have done, what they have inherited, is the sin of their father or their mother. They have inherited, or there is a familiar spirit that has followed the family line of disease or sickness that follows the family line, a familiar spirit that follows down. And it doesn't always go to every member of the family. It may skip a generation and pick up again, we have found, these areas. Your grandfather may have been an alcoholic, and it may have skipped down, and your father wasn't. But all of a sudden, you have a brother that's is an alcoholic. You have inherited that curse of alcoholism, and there's a curse that goes with it. That the Scripture tells us that we're cursed if we give our brother strong drink. And then with alcohol also goes the curse of rage and anger. People who have been alcoholics need to be delivered from a spirit of rage and anger from strong drink. And people who have been fond of wine generally have a spirit of mockery and blasphemy. And you have to get rid of the spirit of the wine to get rid of the spirit of the blasphemy and the mockery. They go together. And it's a curse that comes down the family line from generation to generation until it runs out. If the devil can get it to be repeated, it'll just repeat itself and go on. But if we can come and stand in the strength of the Lord and stop it, it will stop. Now, people get saved and they get delivered. There's many ways of deliverance. I'm not standing here and saying that because your grandfather was an alcoholic that you have that spirit in you. We have seen many people delivered when they get saved. In the early days of Pentecost, they used to have all-night prayer tearing sessions. And people came down to the altar, and we prayed with them until we prayed them through. And I've seen people roll on the floor. I've seen people beat the altar. I've seen people do things. And when I look back at it today, they were being delivered of the demon powers that were indwelling them. And God was doing a sovereign work in their life. We need some more old-fashioned praying through it at the altar. And then we won't have so many of these things in our lives that plague us and torment us. What we need is some more old-fashioned salvation. And that we're in hellfire and brimstone. That hell is real. And that is a reality, and we need to shun it and stir from it instead of saying everything's love, 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 and God's a God of love, and we don't have to. God is a God of judgment as well. His judgment is just as much as His love. And then that's a false pretense, and it's a false security, because it's not so, because God's judgment is sure. And if you sin, you will reap what you and pay for your sin in the judgment of God, unless you repent of it and turn from your way. God's judgment is sure. And His scale is even. His scale of love is here, and His scale of judgment. And they are exactly even. And there's just as much judgment of God as there is love. And we've got a misconception of the love of God, because the love of God is also judgment. And we need to stand forth and understand that and declare that in the household of faith, and get this slack attitude concerning the things of God out of the household of faith. We've got a sloppy, agape feeling concerning God, and it's an abomination to God. And it's causing a shipwreck in the household of faith across the nation. There is a truth to the prosperity teaching, but some of it has gotten so warped until everybody thinks that they can have anything they want for themselves. And that's not so. God gives it to us to be a blessing to the kingdom. And if we make it a blessing to the kingdom, then God may give some of it to us for our own self. But when we desire to have it so we can have a house and we can have a car and this, that's an abomination to God unless we put Him first in it. Then it can be a blessing. It'll be a blessing to us because it's a blessing to the household of faith. So we need to get these things in a right perspective. We need to look at them in a right manner and understand that God's judgment is as sure as His grace. And His judgment is about to fall, and is falling upon this nation because of our lack towards the things of the Lord, and because of our lack in prayer and in fasting and prayer unto the Lord. I'll talk about that a little bit later, not today, or not at this right now anyway. Divorce is a curse. Divorce is a curse that will follow a family line unless that spirit of divorce is broken. It needs to be brought before the Lord. It needs to be repented of, and then that curse needs to be taken authority over, and it needs to be broken off of the children and the grandchildren, so that that curse of divorce doesn't keep following down through the family line, because that is an abomination to God. God never meant or intended for there to be divorce. And when that happens and we're caught in the middle of it, then all we can do is fall on the mercy of God and ask God to be our guide and our direction and give us wisdom and understanding in those areas. Curses are reality. Now, I'm speaking of curses that are biblical, that God applies to us because we disobey His word. Then there's another realm of curses. There's the realm of curses that fall upon us because people put curses on us. I'll let Irma talk about that because it's happened to us here several times. And we've had to stand against it. But when people speak words against you, when people speak a curse against you, there is a reality to it. And when you find out about it or feel a heaviness on you, sometimes that's the only way you can come out from underneath that, is if you stand against something that somebody has said against you or against a curse that's been spoken against you and stand against it. But the thing that I'm referring to this afternoon is the curses that are visited upon us because we sin. Our forefathers have sinned against the word of the Lord. But there is a way out from these curses. Jesus made that way out. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." We believe that, don't we? I believe that. But is all the world saved? You know they're not. I know they're not. But yet it very plainly says that for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. But what's the rest of it? That whosoever believeth. So just because Jesus died on the cross, all the world is not saved, and they won't be saved. And this teaching of ultimate reconciliation that's raising its head in the nation again today is an abomination to God. And if that be true, then Jesus dying on the cross was a fake. It was a fake. If ultimate reconciliation be a truth, then Jesus' death on the cross was a fake. And the Word of God is useless. Anyway, so we know all the world's not saved because you have to apply and appropriate the blood of Jesus for your sins. You have to do it, or you have to do it with the help of somebody else praying with you. You have to appropriate the blood for remission of your sins. Without the appropriating and applying of the blood, there is no remission of sins. There is no other way except through the blood of Jesus. So, Galatians 3:13 also says that Jesus became a curse so that we don't have to bear the curse. Galatians 3:13. Let's just look at that and read it. For that is the key scripture to the breaking of these curses from off of us today. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So Jesus became that curse, that we can have the curses broken and lifted off of us. But we have to take that scripture and we have to apply it and appropriate it in the areas of our lives where these curses exist. And I don't know all the areas of my life where curses have existed or may exist. But every time I find a new area, I apply and appropriate that verse. And I remind and tell Satan, for he is a legalist. Satan is a legalist, and he is more legal than any lawyer or any court or anything that we can understand. He is legal, and if he has any legal right, he will hold on to the last bit of that legality that he has before he'll turn loose. So if I find any area, I come and I say, Lord, you became a curse, so I don't have to bear the curses that are of my ancestors, or if I've made a mistake and a curse is upon me in this area, I come and I appropriate the fact that you became a curse for me. Now in this area of my life, I appropriate the fact that you became a curse in that area. And I break the power of that curse off of me and I loose myself from it and I put the blood to cleanse and to wash and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And then we have the authority to be set free from these areas where we are bound by the curse of our ancestors or the curse that we have gotten our own selves under because we have disobeyed the word of the Lord. Well, the occult brings curses. Brings many, many people are bound by curses of the occult. And Irma does a much better job talking about these areas than I do. I'm going to let her come and pick up wherever she feels here and continue on for a while. And then we're going to pray for you in the area of deliverance in these areas and believe that the Lord's going to set us free.
Praise the Lord. While Glenn was reading those scriptures about eating fat and blood, I think the Lord is teaching all of us more and more how to eat. You know, the very first sin in the Bible, what was it? Eating. And I was reading along the other day. I thought, well, I'm going to start at Genesis, and I'm going to read through again. The book of Deuteronomy is a tremendous book. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, if you must say we have to go by the New Testament and not the Old. The New Testament says that the children of Israel are our examples. And many of them fell in the wilderness. Do we all want to fall in the wilderness? We're really in the wilderness, coming out of the wilderness. We're coming out of the wilderness, and the more knowledge we get and the more we learn, the quicker we're going to come out and the quicker we're going to be in good health. But I just started the other day. I heard Dr. Cherry's tapes on eating. I don't know if you know him or not. He's from Olsteen's Church. He's a medical doctor, and he has a tremendous set of tapes on eating. And the Lord had brought us into this about the blood and everything. So I just started to read. And a long time ago, a mother of a doctor in California, UCLA doctor, said to me, you know, my son won't eat mushrooms anymore. I said, why? I never did particularly cook with them a lot, but I just said to her, why? And she said, well, they say that mushrooms, one day we'll pick up the LA Times and see that mushrooms are one of the main causes of cancer. And that's been at least 15 or 16 years. But I never did know why. And I like to know how and why and everything, because when you stand up here, there's a lot of people there that's judging you every minute, and you better know why. I had no idea why. And one time another doctor came here, and he told me why. You know why? They're fungus. But here it is in Genesis 1, first chapter. I just saw this new the other day. I haven't even got to talk to Glenn about it. It's the 29th verse. We'll start there. I hadn't even planned this until it just came to mind that the Lord, I just sat down the other day. I don't remember if I was in my living room or where, and I just started to read through, not particularly looking for anything, just seeing what the word of the Lord would show me. And God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat." And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. And I just sat there a moment. I was just kind of, meditating about this. And the Lord says, "You are now in the sixth day." We are now in the sixth day. A day is as 1,000 years. We're in the 6,000th year. And all of these theologians here, if it weren't for the grace of God, I'd be scared to stand up here, because they can study and pull all this out. But the Lord just said, "You're in the sixth day. You're at the end of the sixth day. We're at the end of the 6,000 years. We're about ready to go into the seventh." And I sat there and I thought about that, and I thought about that. Now, I remember the very first person that I ever heard say anything about eating was Derek Prince. He said the Lord told him that if he was going to be a deliverance minister, he better start eating right, taking care of his body, because he was going to have to be a strong person in the flesh, And I thought about that, and I sat there and I meditated. "We're at the end of the sixth day," the Lord said to me. And he is teaching people more and more how to eat. Now, I'm no vegetarian. I want to make that clear and straight right now. But I think we have to be careful all through the Bible. If you'll start in Genesis and you go through the Bible, the Lord will show you how to eat. And I believe he's showing more and more people across the land how to eat. Now, the children of Israel, they screamed and cried, and they complained like all of us. We complain and we complain about the manna. They didn't like the manna. And then he gave them quail. Then a lot of them died from it, But I tell you, the Lord is tediously going through us, trying to get the spots and the wrinkles out of us, trying to get us to see. Now, he's going to keep after us until he turns over every cell in our body, I believe. And we come into that redemption of the body that the Bible is talking about. I don't know if Chuck was at the Full Gospel Convention in Phoenix, but it has weighed on my heart long, long time. Jack Hayford was there. And he said, "I want to see how many people are sick here in this congregation." Now, I suppose there were several thousand there. It was a big meeting, the banquet night, I think. And he said, "I want you one row at a time to get up and pass in front of me." Well, we all like this laying on of hands, which is, I like it. I like people to pray over me. And they thought he was going to pray over them. And it was very quiet. It was almost, how you go to funerals and they used to march one row at a time, and so they started. And I looked and the Lord, the Holy Spirit said to me, "This had not ought to be." Now, it was only the sick people he asked to come up. I mean, row after row after row after row. He never said a word to them. He just stood there and nodded to them as they went by. He was seeing if the body of Christ was as sick as he was thinking that it was. Now, did Jesus take the stripes for us to heal us? He did. The enemy is going to keep trying and trying to keep us from receiving the healings that the Lord wants us to have. He wants us to come into a redeemed body. Now, I'm not up here to talk about your redeemed body or anything. I don't know anything about it. I just want it. I just want it. But I just thought I would throw this in because I think it is so pertinent that we start looking for certain things through the Bible, the thread through the Bible. See, in Paul's writings, he said, don't eat blood. Now, when Becky Hall stood up, she said she was of German descent. Well, I am part German and part English and Irish. And I don't know what my great-grandparents ate. We never did have blood, sausage, or anything like that. And in fact, we never did have any diabetes in our family. We had heart trouble. We had strokes. We had hardening of the arteries. We had things like that. And that's the things, see, that I have to fight. Whatever is in our family line. But anyway, I just thought, now you think about those mushrooms. Is it such a sacrifice not to be able to eat them? If God says don't eat them, there's a lot of things that aren't seed bearing. You start studying about it. What about white grapes? They're so nice to eat because they don't have any seeds in them, aren't they? They are not seed bearing, are they? Think about that. I'm not going to get on that anymore because I see I'm rustling you a little bit. Because everybody says, don't tell me what to eat. You know? But I tell you, the Lord is telling us how to live, how to walk, how to come out from under the powers that's on our family line and in our bloodline. And we're going to come out of it. You believe that? We're going to come out of it. And we have to have revelational truth because we've been preached to, we've been prayed over, we've been healed by the power of God, the miracles of God. They've been here all this week. There are many miracles that a lot of you don't even know that's happened. These men had a tremendous deliverance service this afternoon. We had a wonderful meeting on how to come into the perfect presence of the Lord. And I just wish, Glenn, you had taped that. We just need, you men need to hear that. Maybe you men would like to go upstairs tomorrow and listen to Marianne tell you how to come into the perfect presence of God. There's a place in our living room where I can go when I'm tired, when I'm weary, when I feel pressures. I can go in there and I sit before the Lord. And it may take 5 minutes. I mean, just sitting before the Lord. And all of a sudden, His presence comes, and it comes like fire. Talk about burning within me. I tell you, His presence, His fire burns within me. And it only takes a few minutes of that kind to heal us. It is this anointing that's going to break the yoke off of us. And I wish I knew how to keep that anointing 24 hours a day. I know it is possible, and I'm striving for it. I'm seeking the Lord for the anointing that's going to destroy every yoke over not only me, but over all of you. When I first heard the message of deliverance, my daddy was an Assembly of God minister. We all got saved, filled with Spirit in the early 30s. But up until, I think it was 1965 or 66, when we first heard Brother Prince at a full gospel convention, was the first time I ever knew that an enemy could be inside of me and control me and talk out of me, and I would have no control. Now, I didn't get too close to him. I tell you, I trembled when I came near him. When I came to services, you people are so brave to come in here and be able to sit. And I know the feeling when I see you fidgeting and walking outside and all of that. I know what's going on inside of you. There's a battle going on in there. The Holy Spirit is dealing with you. And the Lord began to deal with me. And it frightened me when he gave that call for these evil spirits to come out and they started screaming. You know what I did? I ran out of that meeting place, went up to about the 15th or 16th floor, and I took two tranquilizers. I jumped into bed and covered up my head. And I was already a grandmother at that time. We have grandchildren that are 25 years old. And I had never heard of anything like that. Now, my daddy had told me, he always preached it, if you go to the movies, the devil's there. If you go to the dance hall, the devil's there. But he never said, if you come to church, he's there too. I had a real revelation. A real revelation. Now, the devil had really whanged me around. He had our whole household, our businesses. We saw all kinds of things that the enemy had done, but we didn't know it was the enemy. We thought it was just us, you know, just us, hard luck and all that kind of stuff. But it wasn't very long after that till Brother Prince came out with a little 10-cent booklet. I think that's one of the most valuable booklets I have ever read, because he told the symptoms. And the minute when I kept hearing him preach, I knew I was under the power of the enemy. Now, I had been had a terrible nervous breakdown in the 50s while I was a supervisor at Lockheed. And I could never understand that, how I could be so fine and well one day, and the next day, I guess, landing up in a mental ward. I don't even remember that part. And going through 17 shock treatments. Why wouldn't I be angry at the devil? And I found out through the teaching of Don Basham and Brother Williams and all these other ministries that God has allowed us. It is wonderful to think he has allowed us to sit under them and to understand and know what was the problem. And because he wanted to bring us into this, we are the very last people that you would ever believe that even could be here. We've always been in supervisory work in the aerospace industry, and we owned 10 bakeries for about 8 years. We owned a shoe store. We owned a machine shop. We did a lot of things. But when I started coming into deliverance, I'm telling you, the Lord started shaking my rafters. And he would show me by experience. Now, none of you can talk me out of it, you see. You can't talk me out of that I once had a baby and there was labor pains. I was there. I experienced it. So don't try to talk me out of it. And don't try to talk me out of deliverance, because I was there. But I was born with a curse. The day I was born, my grandmother was very angry because I was born. She wanted my mother to have only one child, and my brother was 2 years old. And here I came along, and they said she literally cursed me. But I didn't know. They didn't call it that. They just said she was angry and stomped her feet and had a mad fit and told my mother and dad off. And my grandmother never did really love me. She always took partiality to my brother, and that was always known in the family, and they talked about it, and I never thought too much about it. I existed. But I always went to death's door. I had a curse of death on me from the day I was born, and I was always sick when I was a young girl. Just measles, everything would just drive me almost to death. And I never realized that until some man of God. I tell you, the gift of discerning of spirits is one of the most important gifts that we should strive and covet after. Then we know that we know that we know. Now, I never knew until Brother Prince, I told some of the girls yesterday, I never knew that I had a curse on me from a fortune teller. I had never been to a fortune teller. I had never seen a Ouija board in my life. I had read horoscopes. I had read Gene Dixon's book, and when he came to our house, he said, in fact, he burned so many of our books. We had a Mormon Bible, a Mormon, I don't know what all we had in our library. We thought we was good collectors, you know, good demon collectors. And he burned so many books in our fireplace, we had to paint the house. But he told me, he said, you're under the power of fortune telling, so is Glenn. Now, this was about 1970, Chuck. Now, we first came into deliverance. We started about 65 or 66 in that Chicago convention. I don't know if you were there or not. Or maybe you were still working at Douglas Aircraft. We're all aerospace people from years ago. And that's when the Lord really started working on me. And I remember we got in a room accidentally. I know it was on purpose by the Lord, though. Boy, did I suffer. Bob Eagle and Glenn went to get hamburgers. And Ambergies and a whole bunch of people were in that room. And Derek started telling about all these deliverances that he and these spirits talking out of people. And he told about this one talking to him in the African language and telling him that it followed him all over East Africa. Well, that made my hair stand up. I tell you, I've never seen Glenn take so long to go do anything. He was gone, it seemed like, for hours getting those hamburgers, and they just kept on talking. And I kept getting more frightened and more frightened and more frightened and more frightened. And I was so glad to see Glenn when he came back. I just wanted some support. I was sitting there with Mrs. Engel, and the women were listening to these men talk. There were some other preachers in there. And I realize that many of you are very fearful of the deliverance ministry. It's not easy at all. But I asked the Lord to show me and to help me. But Derek came to our house, and he told me I was under the power of fortune teller and told Glenn. So he prayed for me, and a tent lifted off of me of darkness. Now, many of you have darkness over you this afternoon. Darkness from things that you don't even realize that's happened in your life or in your parents' life. And so he prayed for me, and then he prayed for Glenn. Another tent lifted off, and I felt so wonderful. And he said, he said to me, have you been to a fortune teller? I said, no, never, never. And he went through all the things, no, never. Just a horoscope, didn't believe them, but read them out of the L.A. Times sometimes. So in a few days, Glenn and I talked about it, and we couldn't realize where this was coming from. And then we found out it was coming through Glenn's mother, who had been to a fortune teller. And when I asked her about it, I just said, you know that Brother Prince picked up, it was also startling, you know, I was just in shock almost. I said, you know, Glenn had a fortune teller spirit on him? And I said, you know anybody that's ever been to a fortune teller in your family? And she said, oh yes, I have, when I was 17 years old. And I said, well, Brother Prince picked that up on Glenn when he was here the other day. I mean, she hit the ceiling. She said, you tell that old Derek Prince, he don't know what he's talking about. He don't know what he's talking about. Everything's under the blood. Everything's under the blood. And everything's under the blood. And she had so much power with that, that a tent came right down over me again. And I didn't know what to do. So I didn't cross her anymore. I didn't say anymore. And that night when Glenn came home, I told him. And so he prayed for me. But I couldn't figure out, now how could my parents ever have gone to a fortune teller? But when that summer we went to the East Coast or to the Middle West, and I, right at a big family dinner, you know those big Missouri, Oklahoma family dinners, I just spurted out, didn't even think about it before. I said, has anybody in this family been to a fortune teller? And my mother said, oh yes, I had when I was 17 years old. And I said, did you know that Derek Prince picked that up on me and said I was under the curse of a fortune teller? What do you think she said? The very same words. That was my first realization that the enemy could talk out of our relatives or out of even us, and we wouldn't even realize it. She just said, that old Derek Prince, oh man, that demon in her was so mean and angry. And my dad said, now wait a minute. He's always good to throw, you know, some sugar on all the talk. And so he said, now wait a minute, quiet down everybody. Let's talk about this. So we started to talk about it. He saw it right away. But you know, my mother never did see it. She never did see it. And they moved here 2 years before we did. We bought this property 14 years ago in August. And we didn't move here for 2 years because I don't know if you've ever been asked by the Lord to sell everything you have and all the 30-some years we've been married and give everything away to the Lord. So it took us about 2 years. You know, that has to sort of, you just can't do that. We had houses, apartment houses. We had a big publication business. We were the first vendor on the Apollo contract for North American Aviation in Downey. Got all the orders we wanted every day to type. 23 typewriters, never stopped, night and day, just grind away. And we worked, and all of a sudden, God sold that business because he allowed Glenn to get a heart attack. He allowed it. I can see it now. At the time, I thought it was the world coming to an end. Our kingdom was crashing down. When the doctor says he's got to get out of this business, he's going to die. And that business was my whole life, you know. We had started it with six typewriters, and I was teaching technical typing. Had a school technical typing for the scientists, for the secretaries to type for scientists. And through my teaching and my being supervisor at Lockheed and RCA, God had just given me some tremendous scientists to train me so I could train others on how to type. What they do is nothing like any working in a regular office. The equations are just horrible things to do, and we had to type them. Well, within 1 week or two, Glenn went to the hospital, and within 1 week, God supernaturally sent a man sent three different people. We listed with the real estate, and we had a secret facility, and I didn't know how to sell a secret facility, and I didn't want my competitors to know that we were going to get out of the business. And we had big contracts from Hughes and RCA and Litton and Lockheed. I had just landed a 25,000-page book to type for Lockheed, type it three times. And, you know, you do the triple space and then the double space and then you do the single space. And it was thousands and thousands of dollars on the SST. And here Glenn gets sick. And this man, in 1 week, God, through a miracle, it had to be him. When I look back at all the things that God took us through, I have to say it was you all the way, Lord. Even when it looked bad, that man came in, and I knew the minute he came in that he was going to buy that place. A real estate person brought him in. And while he was there, we got another call from all of the North American facilities, Atomics International, Rocketdyne, Autonetics, Space and Information Center in Downey, where they built the Apollo. That was before Apollo was ever thought of, I guess. But we got a big contract. They wanted us to work. Our company was so perfect in typing that all of the scientists and everybody were wanting us to do their work for them. We had wonderful employees. Million-dollar contract we was getting. And while that man came in here, that contract, they called for me to come immediately to discuss it with me. And I knew the Lord had was going to sell that place. And that man came in. That was on Friday. On Saturday, he came in. Another couple came in. And another man came in. One of them was an engineer at Marquardt, and all he had was land and had no money. The couple had half of the cash that we wanted and wanted me to stay with them a year. Well, if I'm going to be there a year, I'm not going to run it for somebody else, you know. And so the other man came in with all cash. And we went out free and clear. That following week, they prayed for Glenn, Demas Shakarian, and all of them prayed for Glenn at the breakfast while he was still in the hospital when I called. And Glenn came out, and they said, "There's nothing wrong with your heart. You're just tired. You've got a tired heart." And that was our thrusting out into the deliverance ministry. But I didn't know anything about the deliverance ministry. I didn't know what the Lord was doing. I just was happy we had all that money. We could do what we wanted to. We thought we was going to retire. I think, were we 50 years old yet? No, we were, I don't know how old we were, in our 40s, I guess. But we were successful enough and had enough money that we could retire. And then the Lord began to deal with us again. We went to Chicago, and that's accidentally, on purpose, God started Glenn into taping for the Full Gospel Businessmen. He had no idea what a tape recorder hardly was. I knew more about it, really, because we had one in the office that we worked for the engineers transcribing. But anyway, we got into the taping ministry. And that was when we realized that the Lord had called us to the ministry of helps. The ministry of helps. It's the most important, wonderful ministry that we could ever be called into, because we've always been hard workers. For 13 years then, we made all the tapes for the Full Gospel Businessmen and for the Voice magazine. I worked the book tables, and we started with a little tiny table about so big, with about 6 books and no tapes. And then we gradually got more and more tapes until I think the last convention, one of the last world conventions, we had 17 tables of books and tapes. And we never knew what it was. We started at 6 o'clock in the morning, 6:30. When they opened the door, we started. And often Glenn never did come to the room. He would stay in the tape room and work all night. And we would start the next morning at 7 when they opened. And we'd leave at midnight or 1 o'clock when they turned out the lights. And I had more fun, and I met more people and got to minister to more people. And I didn't even know I was ministering to them, just telling them about the good tapes. All these wonderful meetings we were going to. And the Lord, that's how the Lord led us. And then he called us into this. Then he called to give up everything. I had to give up my parents, because they were fine until we had the first deliverance service. When we had the first deliverance service, I mean, that spirit of that divination in my mother kicked up its heels. And within about 5 days, my parents were moving out of here. Our daughter and her husband, 3 children, were moving out too. here we were, four generations of Pentecostal people. Spirit-filled. Had been for years and years. But they would not receive. My daddy did. But he kind of went along, you know, with it. Afterwards, he told me his story. My mother didn't live very long after that. I fully believe that the people who are fighting deliverance will not live very long. I believe that. I've watched it. I've watched people come in here and fight us. And it's not very long till they're in the grave. That was one of the main important ministries of Jesus Christ. It's part of our salvation. It's part of our working out our salvation. And all of these things that we've gotten ourselves into, we are suffering because of it, and we're trying to come up out of it. And I've asked the Lord many times, show me more, Lord. Show me all you can show me, because I want to help the people. And our magazine goes out to thousands of people, and thousands of people are being helped. More than we could ever know. We don't even realize. We don't even realize what Jesus is doing through this little place in the middle of Arkansas. And I praise God. I praise God for everything He has brought me through. I praise God for everything He has taught us. It has been hard. It has been very difficult. But the Lord has met our needs. I was never one to be in debt. I don't like debts. And I tell you, when we owed thousands of dollars here, it almost took me to my grave. But the Lord, right at the right time, would send the right people in with thousands of dollars to give in to the Lord's work. Thousands of dollars. And we first built a little building that went from this pulpit back, and it was this wide, and this was had to be the dining room and everything, and then this building. I don't know what else the Lord's going to do with us, but I do know that deliverance is real. Now, if you've ever been to a fortune teller, God says He puts a curse on us. Ignorantly. Most of these things have come on us because of our ignorance, because we haven't known the Word of God. In Deuteronomy, it says, when thou art come to the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or is an observer of times, those are, or an enchanter, or a witch, soothsayer, hypnotist, magic, mediums, psychics, charmers, consulters of familiar spirits, necromancing. Necromancing is praying to the dead, and that, if you've been a Catholic, you've prayed to a lot of dead saints, you need help from that. A wizard. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Praise God for the Lord driving these abominational things out of us. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God, for these nations which thou shalt possess, hearken unto observers of times and unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee so to do. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, the Bible says. Now, Derek Prince was never easy on me. I mean, he was so hard on me, but I guess I was so hard. You know, I'd been a supervisor so many years and used to ordering people around. And so he would, one time in Denver, he walked by the book table at a full gospel convention. He didn't mind when he called out things out of me. He said, "If you know, how many know him? You know, he's got all those doctorate degrees from Cambridge, and you can hardly approach him, but then he's very approachable once you get to know him, once you get your demons out of you, so you can come near, you know." And he said, he just looked at me, and I was standing behind the book table. I'd been waiting on all kinds of customers. And you know what he said? He said, "You have a python wrapped around you." I said, "Ooh." I was looking down. I couldn't see it. You know what a python is? And that is a symbol of divination. Well, how do you think I felt? He didn't bother to get it off of me. And I didn't know how to get it off of me. I had no idea how to get it off of me. So I had to find somebody. Now, at first, Glenn was not too much for deliverance. He thought it was all right for everybody that needed it. And I would try to tell him, and he'd say, "You're imagining all this." And I'd try to tell my dad, "No, tried to tell the church, some people at church, no, you gave a message in tongues last week. No, that's not it." So I had to keep asking the Lord. And when Glenn used to go to town, see, after we sold the business, we didn't go out to work, only on consulting jobs, and so we didn't work all the time, so we had a lot of time to pray and to fast. And when Glenn would go to town, I used to close up that long hall, and I'd walk up and down the hall, cried out to the Lord, deliver me, Lord, from all evil. Deliver me, Lord, from all evil. Deliver me. And that's what it says in, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. And I kept calling out to the Lord and kept calling out to the Lord. And I'll never forget. It was at the Fresno Convention. I think that's about the first time I ever saw Chuck and Marianne and the Tobertys. I was running the book table, and President Reagan was just now first running for governor at that time of California, and he was there at the convention that morning. And they all went around to a big luncheon. Well, I always had to stay by the stuff, you know. You can't go away and leave tape recorders and everything in a big hotel. So they went all the way around in that old Hacienda Hotel. And I was over there by myself with the convention girl. And she said, will you please watch this table? And if anybody comes up, well, you sign them up, and here's your paper and all that. And you know how to type. Sure, I know how to type. So she went away to the powder room. And right after she went away, here comes a girl walking up the ramp. Now, this is years ago. Nobody ever wore pants or pantsuits. They didn't even have them, really, to church. And I saw her. Here she comes with a purple pants on. And it was about 115 degrees Labor Day at Fresno. Hot. She had on a long three-quarter length leopard coat. She had on a white chiffon scarf wrapped around her head and hanging almost one side of it to the floor. So I looked and I thought, oh my, she's going to open this bar over here. We were right across from the bar. But she walked right up to me and she said, is this where you sign up for the Full Gospel Business Men? I said, yes. And I gave her this little paper. I said, will you please fill this out? So she filled it out. I've seen a lot of bad writing by engineers, but I mean, hers was just straight up down. And I looked at it, and I looked up at her. I was sitting down. She was standing up in front of me in the desk. I said, what is your name? Oh, much to my dismay, a voice. It sounded like it came off of her shoulder. It said, I'm Jackie, I'm Jackie. I said, what did you say? She said, I didn't say anything. You think I wasn't devastated? And I tried, I just typed up something. I was waiting for Glenn to come back to my rescue. It's always good to have a husband, you know, come to your rescue. And I tell you. But you know, before that, I've been fasting and praying, and I've been saying, Lord, give me power. Give me power. He said, I give you power over all the powers of the enemy, but I didn't know I had that power. How many know that they really have that power in them? Because Jesus is in us. And so, oh, I didn't know what to do. And she went right on into the convention, and I was just petrified. I had to wait till I met a man of God with a lot of discerning of spirits, and I told him about it. He just started to laugh. He said, don't you know who that is, what that is? I said, no. Couldn't even fathom what it was. And the Lord was bringing me all the time into the gift of discerning of spirits, but he was bringing me in a way that I knew nothing. I mean, I experienced it first, and I had to find out later from the Lord or from somebody or the Word what he's trying to tell me. He said, well, that's the spirit of Jackie Kennedy. And she led the fashion world in those days. And right after that, I went into a beauty shop along in the fall, and here she is on the front of Vogue magazine or one of those magazines with that same getup on. That same getup. Well, that was pretty startling. And then I've had all kinds of other experiences. But you know what got me into all this? My own doing, really. By the Lord's doing, but my own doing. I read once something about the army of the Lord. And I thought, now that is wonderful. The army of the Lord. And it took you all through the generals and the sergeants and everybody. Well, I knew I didn't want to be the general. I might have liked to have been, but I didn't put that down. And, you know, that Tommy Cook one time, he gave me a prophecy, and the Lord said, you are my battle axe. And I thought, oh, my land. The girls that used to work for me sometimes would call me a battle axe, but when the Lord does it, man, that's a little scary. Anyway, I went all through it, and at the end it said, now the CIA goes behind the enemy lines. He finds out how the enemy is going against the army or what they're going to do, and then he comes back and he tells the rest of the army. So I thought about that a while, and I thought, well, I'd like to do that. I think I'd like to do that. I checked that little thing, you know. In the back of some of the funny books, they have these Satan books. You can check something, you know, and you can come under Satan's power, but I didn't know that in those days. I just put that. I tell you, things begin to really happen in front of my eyes. Now, when I see it, I can believe it. But blessed are those that believe without seeing, you know. But I would see this. And God would deal with me. And I sometimes would worry with something for maybe a year that he was showing me, and I couldn't get it through my head, and he couldn't get it through to me, or he didn't want to, maybe. He'd let me search the Word and search the Word until I'd find it. But anyway, we all need deliverance in some way or the other. Now, the occult is very strong. It's very strong. And many people up there yesterday had been to fortune tellers and had played with Ouija boards, had read horoscopes, had read Edgar Casey books, had read Mormon books, Unity books, Jehovah Witness books. All of those things bring us into the nether world, and it displeases God. He's very against all that, because the divination spirits, the fortune-telling spirits, are so very close to the Holy Spirit, so very close to the Holy Spirit, that we have to tune in to the Holy Ghost. Now, a lot of things the Lord shows me, and I don't even want to see it, and I don't even want to believe it, but he'll just keep showing me here, there, and somewhere else until I finally see through it, that I don't want to see it, really. I don't want to see it. But then when he shows it to me, then it helps many other people. So anyway, this afternoon, if you've ever been involved with any of these things and you want these curses broken off of me, I am a firm believer that most of the sicknesses and illnesses is coming from curses by God or curses by the devil. I believe that. Curses of insanity, curses of mental illness, curses of drinking, curses of gluttony, curses of overindulgence in anything, all kinds of things. I've got a list here, and we'll call them out. And you listen intently when we're calling these spirits out. If you feel a rustle, now, in all of our teachings of casting out, the word cast out means to vomit, to give a quick jerk, and to breathe out. It is the same word that the Holy Spirit comes as air, or pneuma. And the Holy Spirit comes in, and he says, it comes in upon us, and we breathe in the Holy Spirit, don't we? So we breathe out these evil spirits, and when we give the command this afternoon, don't be embarrassed, because when it's all over, it's just like the delivery room. There's all kinds of horrible things goes on in the delivery room, but when it's all over, it's just wonderful. I felt so light, and every man of God that's ever prayed for me and every deliverance I've ever had, I feel better and better and better. And Glenn told him, he said that I was going to talk about these curses that people put on us. Maybe I'll do that tomorrow. There's a lot of people around here, covens and different things that put curses on us, and spells on us, hexes on us, and vexes on us. Now, I know the only reason I get a lot of them is because he's trying to teach me. See, if you'd have told me, when I was a supervisor at Lockheed, if you'd have told me any of this stuff, I'd have said, oh, come off of it. Forget it. I don't believe in any of that. But I tell you, when I've experienced it, then I start believing, you know. Especially when I hurt. When I hurt, then I try to find out, where is all this coming from? But this afternoon, try to do the best you can. Now, if you and I and all of us would repent more, we wouldn't have so many of these evil spirits attacking us. I noticed last night in the service, there's something about this clapping that was so precious. So precious, but at some churches that you go to, they just clap till you want to feel silly. You know, you sit down and just look at them carrying on. But I tell you, that was of the Lord. And up there today, there was a tremendous victory that Marianne brought that wonderful teaching and a tremendous victory of clapping. We were at David Wilkerson's meeting. We've been to the two repentance services, the conventions. One of them we didn't get to stay all the time. But he asked that there would be no clapping and carrying on after people sang a song or something and just carry on and carry on because they were trying to conserve time. Well, the enemy sends in people to mess up a meeting. And in comes about nine people, I believe, wasn't it, Glenn, with long white robes on. You know, those super spiritual ones. And they said, we were sitting right in front of Mrs. Wilkerson, and the secretaries and some of her children, back toward the back. And these people came in and they sat down behind Mrs. Wilkerson. She's had lot of attacks with cancer, I think 5 times. And they sat down right behind us.
She's all gone now.
And, yeah, she's all healed now. Praise God, it looks wonderful. But they've gone through a terrible battle, and these people started to clap. Now, they didn't clap, you know, like your heart beats. They clapped this crazy, funny clap.
Off rhythm.
And they were clapping while they were trying to speak and preach. Now, that's a religious spirit all the way. I mean, if you can't flow with what's going on, that's a religious spirit. And so they asked him, would you please stop clapping? They didn't pay a bit of attention. See, that's rebellion and witchcraft. And they came to disturb the service. And they asked him, and another, his brother got up and asked him not to do it. And finally they said, ushers, will you please ask him not to do it? And they went back there, and you think those people got up and went out when they asked them to? They went down in their chairs back, and they had to pick up their chairs and drag them out. See what a commotion that makes when the flow of the Spirit. Now, none of us want to have religious spirits, do we? No, because you don't know how much you disturb other people. If you want to have your religious spirit, that's all right with me, but don't disturb other people with it, you know. And so I thought about that. All he did, if you want to test a congregation, just ask them to do something and see how much rebellion there is there. There was so much rebellion there, see, in those people. So much rebellion. And they had to carry them out bodily. Just carried them out. Now, we don't want that, do we? We don't want to be like the children of Israel and die in the wilderness, do we? So let's ask the Lord to help us and deliver us this afternoon, shall we? Let's all pray together. Dear Father, we come in the name of Jesus. Because we're a needy people, we need you, Lord Jesus. We bring up all of our sins of ever doing any of these things, of ever eating blood or fat, and all the sins of our ancestors that's in our bloodline. We ask you to cleanse our blood that has not been cleansed. We ask you, Lord Jesus, to forgive us for any occult involvement in any form or any way that we have done or that our mothers have done, our fathers, our grandmother and grandfathers, and our great-grandparents. Lord, for the whole 4 generations, we ask you, Lord, to cleanse us this afternoon. And wash us by your precious blood. We're asking you now, Lord, to deliver us from all evil. Deliver us from those things that plague us, that make us sick, that cause us distress, that vex us. And Lord, we want to be your servants. We want to be redeemed totally. Out of the hands of the enemy and into the kingdom of your dear Son. And we submit ourselves to you tonight, today, God. We resist the devil, and he's going to have to flee because your word says that he will. And we're calling on your name today. And we are believing that you're going to deliver us. For Joel 2 says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. And we call on your name now. Deliver us now. Heal us now. Set us free now. Remove the darkness out of us. Come with your light. Come with your Holy Spirit. Come with your fire and your presence within us. Now just let the blood be applied. Gwen's going to come and we're going to crawl out. Now whatever happens, don't get panicky like I did, because it's all going to work out in the end. It's all going to be all right. Just let the Holy Spirit now apply the blood of Jesus to these sins. These are little nests in us that we've known nothing about. And then the Lord has revealed it to many people.
Father, I come in the name of the Lord Jesus, that name that's above every name, that name to which every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that He's Lord. And I stand as a priest here in the authority of the name of the Lord Jesus this afternoon, and I take authority over every spirit, over every demon spirit, and I bind it to the day of judgment and ask for the angels of the Lord to come and do battle with us here this afternoon and to take these spirits and keep them until You shall judge them at the day of judgment, Jesus. I thank You for that authority that You give us, of the authority, the use of Your name. This afternoon, I bind these spirits, command them to come out and set the captives free. We shall be able to serve the Lord to a better degree than we have in the past. That we shall be free from the things that bind us and cause us the infirmities and the things that cause us to not be able to serve the Lord as we should. I bind these spirits. I loose us to the glory of the Lord. Father, I thank You for the Holy Spirit to be here to do battle with us and to help us in this battle this afternoon. I praise You for it in Jesus' name. Father, I come against all the spirits of the occult. I bind those powers. I break the dominion of them off of us in Jesus' name. Spirit of fortune telling, spirit of palm reading, spirit of tea leaves and the crystal ball, the Ouija board, the horoscope, ESP, voodoo, water witching, seances. I bind these powers and these spirits. And I command them to come out in the name of the Lord Jesus. Come out of these people and set them free in Jesus' name. I stand and take authority over you. I break your dominion. You spirits of the occult, I break your power and bondages over these people. I loose them from them in the name of the Lord Jesus. You spirits that's been inherited down through the family line, from the family line, I break the power of those curses. Jesus became a curse so that they don't have to bear them. And I take that place of authority and I loose them from this curse that they've inherited of witchcraft and the occult. I break the powers over you spirits, you darkness, you spirits of heaviness and darkness. I break your powers and bondages over the people. Spirit of depression, I bind you. I break your dominion. Spirit of depression, come out. I break the spirit of depression in Jesus' name. I break that power. Spirit of suicide, it goes with it. I break that power in Jesus' name. You spirit of suicide, I bind you. I break your dominion over these people in Jesus' name. I loose them in the name of the Lord. I break the power over these people in Jesus' name. Loose them. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Come on. Move. Move. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Jesus is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. You were defeated at Calvary, and you have no more rights. I take your rights away this afternoon in the name of the Lord Jesus. I break your dominion. I loose these people from your rights, from your authority in Jesus' name. We loose them. The blood of Jesus cleanses and washes. I apply and appropriate the blood to the sins of their ancestors, the rights that you've held. I break that power over them. I loose them from it. I break the curses off. I loose them from it in Jesus' name. Come out. Move. Move. Come on. Move in Jesus' name. I break your dominion. I take authority over you. I loose these people from your powers in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I loose them in the name of the Lord. Father, I thank you for hearing our petitions. I thank you for it this afternoon. I praise the spirit of rebellion. I bind you. You spirit of rebellion against authority, rebellion against God's word. I break that power over these people in Jesus' name. You spirit of rebellion, I loose these people. I break your dominion over them in Jesus' name. Loose them and come out. Come on, move. Come out in the name of Jesus. Rebellion. Rebellion against the word of God. Rebellion against authority. Rebellion against mother and father. I break that spirit of rebellion. I loose these people from it in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. I break your dominion. Loose them. Come out in Jesus' name. You spirit of rebellion. Loose them and come out. Spirit of mind control. I break that power of mind control. I loose them from any power of the fortune teller that someone has held them in mind control. I break that power over in Jesus' name. Loose them and come out. Every spirit of mind control, I break your power over them. I break your, take your authority away. Spirits of Eastern religions. Spirits of Eastern religions, I bind your power. Break your dominion. Spirit of yoga, spirit of self-hypnotism, I break your power in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Spirits of Eastern religions, I break your power over these people. I loose them from it in Jesus' name. I loose them in Jesus' name. I break your dominion. Come on, move. Move in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I break your power in Jesus' name. Sexual perversions, I bind that spirit in the name of the Lord. Sexual perversions, lust. Lust, I bite that power in Jesus' name. Loose these people and come out of them in the name of the Lord. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. I break your power and dominion in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. Girls. Girls. None of that. None of that. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I break the powers of it, of the occult and witchcraft in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for authority. I take a place of authority in this place, and I bind the powers of rebellion in this household in Jesus' name. Mockery, spirit of mockery, I bind you. I break your dominion in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I break that power. I break it in the name of the Lord. I take authority over it in Jesus' name. I bind that power in Jesus' name. Spirit of mockery, come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Spirit of wine drinking. Those who've had drunk wine or their ancestors have drunk wine. I break that power in Jesus' name. Spirit of mockery and blasphemy. Come out. Come out in the name of the Lord. Strong drink. Those who've had strong drink or been their ancestral line. I take authority over the spirit of strong drink in Jesus' name. I break the power of it in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out in the name of the Lord. I break that power in Jesus' name. Anger and rage. Anger and rage. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. I break the power of anger and rage. Loose these people from anger and rage in Jesus' name. Anger and rage, come out. Come out in Jesus' name. I break that power and those curse off of them in the name of the Lord. I loose them from it in Jesus' name. Come on, move, move. Come out, come out, come out. Jesus Christ is Lord. He's taken your rights away at Calvary. He's given us authority in His name to take authority over you. And we take that place this afternoon.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.